Blog Talk Radio.
Calendar. It's the Feast of St. Blaise, who's protector of people's throats. You usually get your throat blessed with candles on this day. It's not a holy day of obligation. One of my birthdays today was Felix Bartholdy Mendelssohn, Jewish heritage, but became a Lutheran. And the wedding march that you hear, one of the wedding marches he wrote, the other one was from Lohengrin by Richard Wagner, who had Jewish heritage, but he was a bit of an anti-Semite. Among the other birthdays today, Horace Greeley, a journalist about the time of Lincoln, and he's best known for the exhortation, "Go West, young man." First a woman physician in Britain, Elizabeth Blackwell, born on this date, famous American poet, Sidney Lanier. First version of Saint Joan of Arc is a silent film produced by Scandinavian film director Carl Dreyer. If you remember all those Saturday Evening Post covers, Norman Rockwell, birthday today. Also, his son became a Nazi and was assassinated. Famous woman singer, went to Paris, friend of Cole Porter and that whole crowd, Mabel Mercer. She was known as, I think, Bricktop, because of her red hair. And one of J. Edgar Hoover's nemesis, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI went after him, Charlie Pretty Boy Floyd. And, of course, we have, if you remember, South Pacific, Tales of the South Pacific, it later became a great Broadway play and musical with composed by Rodgers and Hammerstein. James Michener, born on this day. Among the deaths today is that of Woodrow Wilson. He lived to be 67. He was the guy who resegregated Washington. He was a racist from Virginia, product of his time, but more controversial besides getting us into World War One. He pushed the federal income tax and also a controversial Federal Reserve. And, of course, in his cabinet, the first cabinet, for Secretary of State, who was a peacenik, was Williams Jennings Bryan, who wanted America to get off the gold standard, not to go to the gold standard, but silver. And here's this controversial speech. It's a rare audio recording that we had in the archives. It's called William Jennings Bryan's Cross of Gold speech.
I come to speak to you in the defense of a cause as holy as the cause of liberty, the cause of humanity. Mr. Carlyle said in 1878, that this was a struggle between the idle holders of idle capital and the struggling masses who produce the wealth and pay the taxes of the country. They tell us that the great cities are in favor of the gold standard. We reply that the great cities rest upon our broad and fertile prairies. Burn down your cities and leave our farms, and your cities will spring up again as if by magic. But destroy our farms, and the grass will grow in the streets of every city of the country. We care not upon what line the battle is fought, if they say bimetallism is good, but that we cannot have it until other nations help us. We reply that instead of having a gold standard, because England has, we will restore bimetallism, and then let England have bimetallism, because the United States has. If they dare to come out in the open field and defend the gold standard as a good thing, we will fight them to the uttermost. Having behind us the producing masses of this nation and the world, supported by the commercial interests, the laboring interests, and the toilers everywhere, we will answer their demand for a gold standard by saying to them, you shall not press down upon the brow of labor this crown of thorns. You shall not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold.
Now, if you look at some of the pictures of Ted Cruz and William Jennings Bryan, they seem to use the same body language. And, of course, Cruz, I don't know, I would consider him a Democratic, a Republican conservative. I don't know if you'd call him a populist. And William Jennings Bryan would be a Democrat populist. Now, as Secretary of State in Wilson's first cabinet, he opposed the entry into World War I and resigned. Also, because he was concerned about the farmer and the working man, the fact that this little historical quote in 1690 in Massachusetts, the first paper money was produced. It's interesting. Among the other events today, 1783, getting back to our independence, Spain recognized American independence. In 1809, this was 9 years before Illinois became a state, the Illinois Territory was organized, and it included Wisconsin. I guess Wisconsin didn't like that. Now, interesting about Wisconsin, there were a couple of interesting Supreme Court cases. One, their state court declared unconstitutional the Fugitive Slave Law. Wisconsin was, of course, in the Union column during during the Civil War, and sent many soldiers down to fight the Confederates in the South. There was also another case where the Wisconsin State Supreme Court usurped federal military law, and we'll get into that another day. Also on this day, one of the greatest emperors of modern Japan, Masahito, at 14 years old, became the emperor of Japan, and he took the name Meiji. He was the emperor during the time of the Russo-Japanese War. He modernized Japan. To avoid any more controversy, such as the Hayes-Tilden controversy in the presidential election, Congress passed the Electoral Vote Count Law. And, of course, in 1913, Woodrow Wilson gave us the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve, which I understand, Obama's health care, pushed by Pelosi and Harry Reid, this was done with a rump session and was done and people didn't know about it until it had been a fait accompli. In 1930, Ho Chi Minh and the rest of the Vietnamese who wanted freedom from the French, it was known as French Indochina, the Vietnamese Communist Party was set up. In 1941, we had the Minimum Wage and Hour Act, minimum hours, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court during World War II. In 1950, Klaus Fuchs, who was a German communist and a physicist doing nuclear work, he was arrested for spying, and he was implicated with the Rosenbergs and also Burgess and MacLean and those British communists who were spying for the Russians, spying for the Stalin, and helped steal the atomic bomb secrets and facilitated the production of an atomic bomb for Russia. And also, during the war, Dorchester, it was a troop ship, it was torpedoed, and it was, four chaplains were on board. It was a Catholic priest, a rabbi, and I think two Protestants, and they decided to go down with the ship and to give their life vests to soldiers, to four soldiers, and a stamp was issued commemorating them. It's known as the Four Chaplains. Now, among the other issues today, I don't think somebody who's followed elections of Eugene McCarthy in 1968, I don't think Ted Cruz is viable as a national candidate for the presidency, and I will carefully couch this prediction. My reading is that it just may be Trump as the Republican candidate and Rubio as the vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket. I understand that Bernie Sanders is now asking for a possible recount in Iowa because he's claiming there's fraud. Also, on the Republican side, Dr. Carson and also Trump is claiming that Ted Cruz falsely put out, or his people falsely put out information that Dr. Carson had withdrawn from the presidential campaign caucus in Iowa, the Republican caucus, and it turned out to be false or a lie. So the dirty tricks have already started, and of course Hillary's people have done their thing and dumped a lot of money, and we shall see what we shall see. It's surprising that Bernie Sanders has asked for a possible recount. Among the other things that are interesting today, of course, we have the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. There are some of the boosters here in San Francisco want San Francisco to be the permanent site for future Super Bowl games because these people think San Francisco knows how to throw a party, and of course, our mayor, Ed Lee, who's from Seattle, his father was an immigrant from China, is being referred to as Nero, Nero Lee, because his destroying housing for the poor, apartment buildings, facilitating it for his campaign contributors. Also, businesses are being destroyed. We now have shops which sell expensive clothes, shoes, latte, bicycles, and, of course, heavy industry, hardware stores, paint. The buildings have been knocked down, so it's become a latte leisure class city, and there's a class warfare going on. Homeless people are living in tents, and we will be putting up our videos, our documented videos of San Francisco's second city, tent city. Also, there's more controversy about Hillary. They're claiming that Hillary's great and good friend Huma Abedin, Huma's mother, is allegedly connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. So there's an issue, there's a security issue, just as it was with Klaus Fuchs. Also, we have the DA of San Francisco, who came here ironically from Cuba, just as Rubio's parents came from Cuba. His name is Gascon, I think it's a French name. Anyway, he came here at age 14, and he was in the U.S. Army, served honorably as far as we know, became a cop, went to night law school, and ended up he wanted to become police chief of Los Angeles, and that didn't happen. So he came up here to San Francisco, was police chief very briefly, and then became district attorney and was reelected. Now he's prosecuting what some people consider the minnows in this bribery, influence peddling, and political campaign contributions are pay to play and profit land fraud here in San Francisco. There is a history of this dating back at the turn of the century when the President's Taft's administration sent in Francis Heaney, who was a U.S. attorney in Oregon and was investigating land fraud up there, sent him down to San Francisco to investigate public corruption here in San Francisco, and there was an attempted assassination of Francis Heaney. Heaney later ran for governor of California, but was blocked by then-Republican governor. I guess it was bad blood, but he later became a California Superior Court judge, and he died during the 30s. But there is a history of this land fraud here in the West, and, of course, what's going on here in San Francisco and in Northern California under the guise of affordable housing, affordable condos. Now, among the El Chapo, there's a woman connected to him, And what people are beginning to realize that there are women who are major drug dealers in the business, and some of them are very deadly. But one, Rosario Aramburu Anaya, came from Cochabamba, Colombia, Bolivia, which is the Medellin of Bolivia. They call it the blue cocaine. She emigrated apparently legally here to California and got connected to left-wing Democratic politics. Although she lived in Alameda County, she ran for the San Francisco County School Board, and she was on there illegally. She was also getting millions of dollars of HUD money, which to rehab this bogus school operation of hers, Mission Language Vocational School. Apparently, she got the money, took out the permits, but didn't do the work. She recently died and is considered to be late and unlamented. Now, we hear about racism among the police departments in America, but we have racism which is overlooked in other sectors of American life. There are racist police, there's no doubt about that. When I was on a police beat, some of the things that were said about blacks and Asians and Chinese and Italians, and you know, there were a lot of ethnic slurs mouthed by some of these old cops and some even young ones. But there is racism among judges. We had that in the Steve Neri case. He was a Native American, half Native American, and got railroaded by a white Irish immigrant from Canada, Kevin Ryan. We have lawyers who are racist. Doctors have had some personal experience. They're journalists. When I was a correspondent abroad, and being multi-ethnic myself, the a white federal official who was at this convention said, "Why are you people interested in this?" And then he caught himself realizing what he had just said. It's not the first time this has happened. If you're not of their profession, but you've done your research and you are asking legitimate questions, if they look at your skin color and think, "Oh, who are you to ask? What are you people? You people?" That's one of the phrases that is used. So it's something that goes across the professions, and you hear it in other countries as well. For instance, Australia, which I like very much, for years they banned Asian immigration. It's only recent. Within the last 20 years or after the Vietnam War. It's kind of funny, when I was over there to hear a Australian Vietnamese or Chinese kid speaking English with an Australian accent. And of course, you know, it's kind of funny. But 30 years ago, Asian immigration was blocked to Australia. So this is one of the interesting. Now compare that with New Zealand, which was a Maori, which is a South Pacific ethnic group. Half of that country has a Maori blood. Now what's also interesting, even South Africa, for years the Dutch and the French who emigrated, they were Protestants. There was a mixing of the races, if you want to call it that. And, of course, there was a lot of racism in modern time after 1948, when the Nationalists under Verwoerd took over South African politics. A lot of white South Afrikaners, they're called, were very racist. But when they were accused of racism, some of them would say, "Well, if I have African blood, it was Zulu the best." And they're called the coloreds in South Africa. But now, with what's his name, Zuma, who's the black African president, he has growing corruption about him. And the ANP, the African National Congress, ANC, excuse me, have taken over the country from the white Boers, as they were called, the Dutch descendants came there in the 17th century. So these things, you know, everybody's got racism. You hear Jews, people of Jewish ethnicity referred to blacks as the Schwarzes. You hear other, even white ethnic groups referred to, like the Puerto Ricans as Spics, Mexicans as Spics. You hear, and then Italians, dark-skinned Italians referred to as Guineas. Also, there's the N-word, which you don't, a nigger, and it used to be called negro, polite words was colored or negro. Now it's, to escape that stigma, they're called American Africans, and of course that's incorrect because not all blacks are from Africa. There are black people in the South Pacific. There's some in, of course, if you look at southern India, there are almost black Chinese. There are, of course, the Aboriginals in Australia, and then you have in Ceylon or Sri Lanka today. So we'll be back Friday. We're going to have Pat Butler on. I got to get hold of him, and we'll be discussing what's going on in Illinois. Now, this is interesting. A movie I would recommend, we just saw it, called The Big Short. It's not about a short athlete. It's about shorting the financial system with these mortgage-backed securities, which was one of the biggest frauds and still going on here in the American financial sector today. People have houses that they're buried in, and they owe more than these properties are worth. I keep saying it's going to crash. But anyway, what cropped up in Illinois, which is very interesting, Deerfield, Illinois, is one of the wealthiest suburbs in Cook County and in Illinois. A mass of foreclosures has been surfacing there, which is highly unusual in a very wealthy suburb, even in Illinois. So people should pay attention to this. Something's going on. Anyway, we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. We will be back Friday at Pacific Standard Time, and we're working on showing exposing San Francisco's second city. Excuse me. I'm finally getting rid of this bloody cold. And we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. Excuse me. And we will go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and you will see a lot of things that we've been working on. We're working on a major interview with an outfit that uses horses. But here we are ending with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
Guys, go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Mike, why?
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen. How about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker. Politics and poker. Shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children. Neither game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas. Politics or poker? Which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
Peter Paul Vizzola. Upcoming is the San Francisco's participation in Super Bowl 50. There are a lot of growing number of citizens and taxpayers here who don't like this and were upset at having to bear some of the costs. So this is Peter Paul Vizzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS, and we should have some stuff up there. So good night, stay safe, and stay warm.